Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Ham Radio, where I, Keith McNally, play songs because I have a manner of ham radio which I can use to broadcast to you, though it is actually the internet and not at all related to ham radio technology. So I did my last show at my job while I was at work, and I thought that was a fucking fantastic idea. It's just a good way to double up stuff, because that's what I do in general while I'm up here. I work on writing, I listen to like little fucking audio lectures and just, you know, kind of keep myself occupied while I'm at work. So it's kind of neat. It's like, well, with the audio lectures, the teaching company, all that shit, it's kind of like a reduced version of school. Except instead of paying to go, I get paid to go. And man, school, whew, lordy. I made some explosive remarks about school last week without actually explaining it all. But today I happen to be awake at like 7 in the morning. 8 in the morning, I guess. And I went out to run some quick errands, go grocery shopping, which for me basically means...
Show one end.
If you hear any weird sounds in the background, it's my radio informing me of the state of the movie theater right now. What is it I was going to say? Oh, yeah, so basically AAA batteries and sleeping pills. After that, I'm like, well, what else am I supposed to buy? I guess I should get some food. But I don't know, I was never aware that they made sleeping pills, like, that you could just buy until just recently. And with my lifelong chronic problems with sleeping, these things are fucking great. I mean, they're basically just a mild sedative. They're not really all that strong, but they're at least enough to keep you down, you know? Keep you laying in bed till you fall asleep, because otherwise I just get all fucking...
Show 8 ends in minutes.
All fucking... restless, you know, and I can't stay in bed and I gotta get up and watch a fucking movie or something. At least they take care of that. It's nice. Although, I don't know. I might be abusing them a little because I'm starting to like how they taste. And I don't think they taste good. But, point I was trying to make is today is the first day of school. September 2nd, I guess. And the lines here in Vancouver to get on the bus, fucking mental. Like, the monorail, SkyTrain, doesn't go out to the university. So you gotta take the bus. And, man, people were lined up from, there's like 3 bays to get into the bus, and each line was so long, it went like at Broadway Station, past all the restaurants, past the pizza place, like all the way on the way to the, like the other line. I don't even, a lot of fucking people. Like, one of my coworkers was saying, she heard on the radio that they had like a 5-minute delay between buses, and it caused a buildup of 400 people. Fucking insane, man. That's just mental. That's not worth it. If you go to school in fucking Vancouver, move to the West End. It's fucking, it'll be worth it just to not put up with that every day. But really, I was thinking about school a little more. I think school, it's really kind of fucking frightening to me. Not only am I opposed to it on intellectual grounds, but fuck, man, I don't know. Just the stress of it seems so horrible. This enormous financial burden, and then you've got to get like a job on the side and you still can't fucking keep up, and all these fucking people and teachers that you in no way can guarantee are not wasting your fucking time. And then if you do overcome all that, what do you get? Some piece of shit job that you don't even fucking want? Whew, I don't know, man. It just seems like a fucking losing bargain. I just very little way to win at that game. Some people manage, I guess, but shit. So last time I recorded this in the fire escape because it's the only quiet part of where I work. I work around projectors and it's fucking loud as piss. So there might be a machine hum because this is the best alternative I could come up with. I'm in, I don't even know what this room is. It's like where all the air redistribution machines are. So there's a sort of general rumbling. I don't know, it might be annoying, we'll see when we play this one back, but that echoing, that was brutal, man. That was like an echo effect. There might be a way to dampen that in post-production, but I don't know how, and whew. So, anyway, today what I got for you is a theme-based song. I got a bunch of, theme-based show, a bunch of songs that are all related in one way or another. And these are very loose, abstract, nearly arbitrary themes. But it's just a good excuse to play some fucking music, you know? Just hang out, man. Hang out. Listen to some music on the ham radio. Sometimes, you know, I don't know, it's apparent that there's no actual audience. That's just me sitting here talking. Feels weird. All right, time to pump ourselves back up here. Come on, I'm losing steam here. Time to get focused back on the powerful power of music. So what I'm going to start with is my first theme are songs that I cannot help but sing along to. I must sing along. And if I happen to be in some kind of social situation where I can't, you know, and I gotta fucking bite it back, it physically pains me to do so. I must sing, which is one of the best things about this job. I can just blah, blah, blah to myself all fucking day. I'm all by myself. Nobody can tell. Although, occasionally when people are cleaning up movie theaters, that soundproof glass is not totally soundproof, and they can hear me singing. So I get sarcastic comments on my radio sometimes. But, something else. Well, I'll talk about that after the song. So we're going to play Falling Out by Ween. Maybe the first time you hear it, you won't want to sing along. Understandable, you know. May not be aware of the lyrics and such. But you listen to this bitch a few times, and those words will be rolling off your tongue whether you like it or not. Here's Ween with Falling Out. That is a fine little ditty. Ween do not always write very complex songs, but man, they have some fine little tunes. So one thing I was going to mention about this silly job. Basically, so I'm working here to save up money for film equipment to do a new Keith and the Girl documentary. And, you know, it's not necessarily ideal, but I don't know, in a way it is even, because, like, it's a shit job. It's fucking silly for a grown man to have this job, but it is very solitary. I can do a lot of stuff, you know, otherwise. Like, I can double up work. I used to like that at the porn store, too. It's like I could edit books on the computer there. I could read shit. You know, it's like you're doing another job at your job. That's always worth something. And I can leave anytime. I can leave for a week and go to New York anytime. And I just come back. I mean, I left for 8 months, and you just come back. Nobody cares. It's like the my first stand-up on Happy to Serve You about just going to HR and saying, fuck you, bitches, and then just getting a new job. It's like that, except you don't even need a new job. They'll just take me back. I mean, and it's just so hard to find someone who can be a competent projectionist, because you're fucking, you know, what you're drawing from is just a bunch of fucking idiots who work at a movie theater, you know? Clearly, you're not going to get good, competent employees. The culture of accountability, not big among, like, high school kids. So, I don't know, I guess I've been back for about 4 months, maybe five, and I work whenever they want me to. Like, you know, fucking, I'll work close opens where you work till 2 a.m. and then you got to be back at 10 the next, you know, or fucking weird mid shifts and anytime. And there's various little dorky events in town here that I missed. They had a screening of Serenity for Joss Whedon's birthday. I missed that. They apparently played the Buffy musical sing-along version, and I think I would have gone because I love that Buffy musical. But both days I had to work, so I came in. So basically after these months and months of working 5 days a week, anytime they want me to, no complaining, no nothing, no problems, they decided that I am player of the month. See, they don't call it employee of the month. We're called players here because it's like we're in a play. We're like the actors. And at first I was a little taken aback and somewhat embarrassed, but you know, fuck it, man. They gotta pick somebody, right? It might as well be me. Who else in this building deserves it? Nobody. So basically, I get free food for the month. That's all. It'd be nice to get like money, not so much. A few little dopey prizes and stuff. My name on a plaque, apparently. But yeah. So on the one hand, it's like, sure, I got player of the month because this job is fucking stupid, and only an idiot would consider this a legitimate career. But on the other hand, fuck it, man. Fuck it. I'll take it. If it's coming down to me or somebody else, then fuck them. Yeah, so here I am, player of the month, completely neglecting my job right now to do a podcast. I like that, player of the month. See, they don't even know. They're like, ah, there's never any problems up in the booth when Keith's here. They just don't know, man. Fucking everything goes wrong. It's just as long as you can get it together just in time for the movie to start, and then no one knows. But I like it, though. I mean, it is a fun job, just working with these machines, and you got to be like MacGyver. You got to come up with, man, the fucking turret on the front with has the two kinds of lenses. There's two types of movies, cinescope and flat. It, fucking thing wouldn't close, and later I grabbed a screwdriver and managed to fix it, but I didn't have time. This movie was about to start, and the gate on the front wouldn't close. That's where the lens is, you know, important. So I ended up taking a shoelace and fucking tying it to this thing and, you know, rigging it all together. And then I was just fucking hoping that the shoelace wouldn't catch on fire, because, like, these light bulbs are insane. You'll go blind if you look at the light inside a projector. Luckily, everything was fine, but that's just a nice little example of how you gotta MacGyver shit sometimes. You know, you gotta be a little clever to, you know, anybody can be a projectionist, but you're gonna know that they suck. You know, the movies are gonna be all fucked up, because there's a million things that can go wrong, and you only learn how to fix them as they go wrong, you know? There's no way to really prepare for this shit. Especially nowadays, where this is not a union job and it's not high paid, it's just a schlub job. It's a lot of it is automated, but doesn't mean things can't get fucked. So my next theme is continuing with songs that I can't help but sing along with. And this is going to segue into our next set of themes, which are songs that take a dim view of the human race. I'll talk more about that after the song's done. But I just, man, the fucking chorus of this song is called MC Murder by Chaos. And when I worked at the porn store, there was another dude who worked there who I always thought was kind of gay, but my friend Derek, who worked there, insists that they had many conversations about porn stars and that he isn't. But the guy was, I don't know, saving up to go to barber college or some weird shit. Anyway, he used to play this song all the time, and as our shifts would, you know, overlap. And it's fucking a really good song. And must be sung along to, like, super operatic, overblown, so good. But I remember this guy told me, and I liked his musical choices enough that I'm going to check up on this eventually. This has been a couple of years now, and I still haven't looked it up. But he told me that the Courtney Love solo album that came out, like, 3-4 years ago was really good. And I'm going to take his word for it, but I have not yet tracked it down. Maybe that'll be a little test for me to do for next week or something, or whenever I do another podcast. This guy also was how I first heard of the Perry Bible Fellowship, that awesome comic strip that if you haven't heard of, you're obviously not cool. All right, this is MC Murder by Chaos.
Don't get caught up on this planet, man. These humans are crazy. Just don't even show them your microphones, because then, you know what? They want to give you a record deal, and then you end up dead, you know what I mean? It's like body snatchers. But you know what? We love hip-hop. Stop. Please stop, please. Okay, here we go. Yeah. Holding my raps, Odin is golden and black. Extolling virtues of rabid monkeys riding my back. I see them falling, doing commercials and balling. I'm not a hater, but she's closing the gate and we stalling. Woke up in the early morning, I heard a voice that showed me the things to come and told me I had a choice to build it. 300 cubits by 50 cubits, drinking, thinking I'm stupid, but deep in my heart I knew it. Money and fame could lead to MC murder. You think you can't escape, but you can't take it any further. You call it writer's block, but you stop cause the vine is empty. Hip-hop's not dead, it's really the mind of the MC. It's all around me, it's MC murder. Though God has found me, I thought I heard the sound of a thousand angels. It's the sound of danger. Know myself, but I'm still a stranger. MC Murder, MC Murder. I'll be damned if I do, and damned if I don't. My soul won't allow me to fake on the phone. Rocking the chrome, another seed gets sown. Anonymous, I'm hailing from parts that's unknown. I look to the heavens above to spread love, but MCs keep faking, hoping to make the bacon. Man is mistaken, cause who we are is not physical. Very mystical with the mind, non-typical, but they want the cash flow. They steady scheming for the number one spot. These MCs, they won't last though. I really feel somebody's watching me from the furthest star and telling us who we are in this universe. We like a speck of dust, you can't expect to trust. Man is living for the lust. Everybody wants the eye in the sky to come and save us, but maybe the planet itself will terminate us with a. It's all around me, it's MC Murder. Though God has found me, I thought I heard the sound of a thousand angels. It's the sound of danger. Know myself, but I'm still a stranger. MC Murder, MC Murder. It's all around me, it's MC Murder. Though God has found me, I thought I heard the sound of a thousand angels. It's the sound of danger. Know myself, but I'm still a stranger. MC Murder, MC Murder.
You know, I noticed that these three songs I've got in my extremely catchy but somewhat downbeat philosophically songs, they all involve outer space in some way. But I don't know, I don't think I could make a distinct philosophical argument against any of these songs. I mean, they're not saying anything very clear anyway. It's just a sort of general vibe of, I don't know, disdain for the human race, I guess. And I mean, I, in a way, I can understand that. You know, there's a lot of horrible shit that goes on, but I don't know. I'm just so tired. I've been tired for a long time of people that have this dim view of the human race. I mean, we don't have fucking time for that shit. Like, the more you learn about the universe, the galaxy, outer space, the whole fucking environment we live in, it is so fucking incredibly clear that we are not what was intended, and not in a negative way, like as if we're some perversion of the grand plan. It's that there is no fucking grand plan. There is nobody at the fucking wheel here. There was not some tinkering god who set things into place to try to get dinosaurs, and then he didn't like dinosaurs, so he blasted them with a meteor, and then he got us. That's not what happened. The universe has no fucking preference. It doesn't like us any more or less than the dinosaurs. It's completely fucking ambivalent. It doesn't and can't care. There's nothing out there. We are on our own, man. Like, there is, I mean, there's that argument Ayn Rand made of the benevolent universe, but I don't buy that. I mean, when you look at the number of years that have passed and the fucking number of planets that are in existence, and oh man, I mean, so we happen to, out of all that, become, you know, able to exist. I certainly don't think that makes any kind of an argument for a benevolent universe, because what about the other fucking 99.9999% of the universe. That's just a fucking mess. I think we were completely just what happened to evolve, and the random fucking machinations of the universe could just as easily fucking slam a meteor into us and not give a fuck. No one's gonna notice that we aren't here anymore. No one's gonna care. It's just us, man. We're all we've got. We gotta hold on to this fucking bitch with all we have. So we don't have time to be running around with our, oh, human beings, we suck so much. We're so, everyone does the wrong thing. People are so greedy and selfish and Just fuck you, all right? For fuck's sake. For one thing, the most obvious point to make about that whole mindset is that no one... It's that other people's minds are fundamentally unknowable. The only actual evidence you have to go by is yourself at the end of the day. It's the only thing you can totally fucking rely on. So these people that just hate the human race, well, what the fuck does that say about you, dipshit? Think about it for 2 seconds. The problem ain't with the race. It's with you, bitch. So I'm more of the opinion that while there are many, many very useless, not very worthwhile people, the ones that have lived up to their potential by far make it all worth it. Way, way, way outweigh everyone else. Maybe I'll have more to say when I've sorted this out a little more. It's kind of interesting to listen back to these sometimes and see what the stream of consciousness, you know, came up with, because I actually just woke up. I mean, I was up this morning, took another nap, just woke up at like 4:30 in the afternoon, just got here to work, just started working. I can hardly think straight, but basically, with these little tunes, the point is that these songs are so catchy that you can't help but love them, despite their completely fucking retarded message. Especially this next one. This is Pets by Porno for Pyros. What is the point of this stupid song? Lyrically, it's fucking retarded, man. This needs a slap in the face. But it is so catchy that you just can't help but love this song. I love this song. I can't. Anytime it starts to play, it's just great. And I've only really recently gotten into these guys. You know, I heard that song Mija, and I started getting their albums and Jane's Addiction albums and, you know, just picking out little bits here and there. I remember this song, but I especially remember... The Cursed Female video got played all the time on Much Music, and I didn't like it at all at the time. I was like, what is this fucking horse shit, you know? Play some fucking Stoneable Pilots or whatever. Maybe it was a little before that. But now it's like, you know, I missed out on the cool train. Finally, I'm getting back on board, because particularly this first Porno for Pyro albums has some good shit. The second one's a little too spacey. I had a hard time sinking my teeth into it. But Pets, this is a very famous song. There's a very good chance you've heard it before. And, man, it's catchy as hell. Pay no attention to these silly, silly lyrics.
More.
Listen, Perry Farrell, you fucking drugged out hippie retard. What the fuck are you talking about? Maybe Martians will come do better than we've done. What did we do that was so fucking wrong in that grand scheme of things? Like, we killed some animals. You realize how many animals died before we were ever around? I mean, there's been mistakes. Like, the guy who invented leaded gasoline is the same guy who invented chlorofluorocarbons. You know, that guy didn't help things. He fucked shit up pretty bad. I'm not saying everything was perfect, but as opposed to what? Fucking dinosaurs? All my friend says we're like the dinosaurs, but we're doing ourselves in way faster than they ever did. Because they couldn't do themselves in. They didn't have the fucking ability. They weren't conscious like that. They couldn't develop tools. They couldn't build things. They couldn't conceive of their world. They're fucking dinosaurs. Fuck you, man. And how would we make great pets? How? All the things that make us excellent are why we would be terrible pets. No one could make us pets. We would fucking rebel and ruin everyone who tried to fucking enslave us. They would just have to wipe us out because we would be the worst pets ever. God damn it. I'm starting to make myself not like that song just by thinking about it too hard. Catchy little ditty, though. But all right, last one here. This is The Warning from Nine Inch Nails, Year Zero. Now, I like Year Zero overall. I was surprised. I didn't think I'd like it as much as I did. But it is kind of like a total package. It's hard to pick individual songs out of that whole glut. But the song The Warning, I don't know, I always really like this one. And again, it's about, well, it's so weird. I mean, Year Zero in general is about this kind of futuristic breakdown society. Not very, you know, near future type of tipping over the edge of the apocalypse type of thing. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this fucking alien comes down from outer space and tells us that if we don't right our wrongs, because, you know, we're hurting the planet and all that fucking hippie Greenpeace fucking horse shit, that they're going to wipe us out. Well, yeah, that's very enlightened alien race. That's fantastic, you know. What the fuck? Well, I got to admit, like, I saw Trent Reznor on a PETA video about Chinese fur markets where they skin dogs and cats, and it's fucking sick. I mean, I'm not going to deny that for a second. It's ridiculous that there is no regulation on that. It's just, you know, animals in fucking cages getting tossed around, their limbs get broken, they're fucking crazy from being stuck in there. It's horrible. There's no doubt about that. But what I don't like about PETA is that if especially that magazine, man. That magazine used to drive me bonkers. My fucking mom gets that. If you appeal to my sense of reason, I'm with you. Because, I mean, you're right. Those fucking people are right, you know? I mean, I'm not denying that. But they go for the emotion all the time and the outrage. Much like maybe I just did. But I'm not a fucking organization trying to help the world and asking for money. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, come on, man. When you have the moral high ground, logically, and it can be explained, and yet people hate you, how can a fucking company be so insufferable, you know? At least fucking GM, while they may be, you know, wrecking the world, they're not in my fucking face about it. They're not annoying, you know what I'm talking about? Just, I hate being guilted into things. I won't and will not allow it. It's fucking ridiculous. If you can explain to me why I shouldn't eat animals and shouldn't buy fur, that's great. I'm with you. But if you gotta try to make me feel bad, at the end of the day, fuck you. They're just animals. They're not us. They're not that important. So, yeah, you gotta take the soft touch there, PETA. And you're not. You're failing. You're failing hard. But, so this song, The Warning, fucking aliens come down and tell us to stop being dicks, or they're gonna kill us. Great. You know, like, fuck the, I wish that would happen. Fuck those aliens. Nuke those assholes. Fuck them. Come on to our planet, tell us how to run things. God damn it. Welcome to our planet, motherfucker. Ah. Upsetting. But this song is also going to segue us into my next theme pack. And it's because I'm going for these kind of very repetitious songs that have a very, very simple hook and basically just loop it with very little variation. This song in particular reminds me of back when I was used to do some musical type computery shit with trackers way back in the day. And I remember I made this one little song just as a test. It really wasn't a song so much, where I made a little, you know, a little melody and then just continually swapped out the instruments. Swap out one, swap in a new one. And in a way, that's what this song does. It's almost, for the most of the song, it's the same little melody, and it just swaps out instruments and swaps in new ones over and over in a loop. And somehow, I just really like it. I like this song a lot. Despite, again, its fucking retardedness of concept. So here is The Warning from Nine Inch Nails. Man, usually I don't listen, honestly, too closely to those songs. I just let them play because they're catchy and I like them. But man, when you really pay attention, goddamn, it just reminds me of all these concepts that people completely just take for granted. That fucking one about human beings being a virus. Man, that's a popular one. The cancer taking over the earth. Goddamn, I don't know. I think tiresome is generally the best word to use, but sometimes that shit just fucking offends me. Mostly because in my formative years, if it hadn't been for a very few select positive influences, I could just see myself falling into that pit of fucking bullshit like so fucking many people do. Because why wouldn't you? It's just the underlying current, really, of, I think, most of our culture right now. And positive examples you do get are so fucking hollow most of the time. You know, you don't take them seriously. If anything, they almost help to, you know, lend credence to the other side of things. But mostly, I really think, school especially, but school and raising your kids if you're a parent, all you really gotta teach your kid is that they are able and competent and deserve to achieve in life. And if you can get that through to them, they will make their own way. Shut up, radio. If you don't get that through to them, I mean, it's over. That's the fundamental first step, you know? If they don't think they can be anything, they aren't going to be anything. It's not going to happen by accident. People don't become good by being told that they're bad. That's just all there is to it. And there's just, yeah, this aimless fucking guilt and just this assumption that people are not supposed to be here, that, you know, we're fucking shit up, and man, it just drives me fucking crazy. It's like, good old Ayn Rand, who I gotta say is hands down my favorite writer, but, I went back and read The Fountainhead very carefully just a while ago, and there are times when, it's hard not to say, like, wow, that lady was fucking crazy, what is she talking about? But the good times, which are somewhat scant in some ways in The Fountainhead, but the good parts far outweigh everything else. They really do justify everything else. Gale Winand especially, I think, just makes that book. Everything that has him in it is good. But she had a line, Ellsworth Toohey, the collectivist villain guy, is talking about how if you want to enslave people, you want to break them down, don't fucking do it by force, you know, don't let them have the dignity, at least, of knowing that they didn't choose this, that it was forced upon them. Just fucking abnegate the spirit, and then they will bring you the whip. They'll think they deserve it, and then you got them, they're fucking done. And I think it bothers me so much because, like I said, I mean, it all seems so vague, it's hard to pinpoint these negative examples, but they just seem so completely fucking just everywhere. They just permeate things that, I mean, I don't know. I've got old writing of mine from high school that's just ridiculous, you know? And I mean, obviously everything from high school is somewhat dramatized, but I don't think my fundamental precepts about the world would have become more positive. I just would have buried them away and grown up into a little unassuming adult guy who goes about his stupid dumb life, but is always carrying around this baggage, you know? It's like I needed somebody to fucking just to point out the fucking power and potential of the human race and just the importance of what we are. And once you get that, on some level, you're not going to lose it. No matter what happens, you're going to remember. And it just, it's insane to me how incredibly difficult it is to really have that put across to you in a convincing way, because it's, again, it's not something that you can necessarily teach if you don't know it, I suppose. And the school system is fucking mental. It really is based on Napoleon's fucking system for making soldiers. That's why you gotta raise your hand and before you speak, and you gotta ask to go to the bathroom, and then when a bell rings, you all fucking single file fucking wander to the next room. It's military. It's retarded. Nothing positive can come out of that. Anyway, on to songs that don't disturb me as much. We're gonna stick with the repetitious, trancey, though not trance music, style of stuff. This is a song by Sloan from their album Action Packed, P-A-C-T, called Reach Out. And it's basically the same guitar riff, just cyclical, just in a loop, again and again, over and over. And somehow it just works. It's just this directness that really works for this song. And this is a song that lyrically not incredibly clear, as most songs aren't, but the vibe, the tone is very positive, I think. I know I've talked before about this book that I'm working on, which I'm still working on, called Smile, and I got into some vague specifics. The Saul Williams song, Wine, I always had in mind for at the very, very end, when I'm so predictable, but when there's a burning school, I don't see any need to be clever or fancy. I want schools to burn. My book's going to have a burning school. But this song I always popped into my head for this one scene where basically a kid's going to die, and then there's a nice little twist. Things get, day gets saved to an extent anyway, enough so that the kid doesn't die. And I always thought of this song. This is Reach Out by Sloan. Next up in our peculiar repetition theme is the Pixies with Into the White. Now, I mentioned before that I never quite got the fanaticism for the Pixies, mostly because I think I just wasn't into them at the right time. Maybe it was a little bit too before my time, a little bit too underground, and I've never been ashamed of being affiliated with the mainstream. I figure if if a band cannot bring itself to me, maybe it's not trying hard enough, you know? I mean, it's cool to be down with weird, obscure shit sometimes, but it wears you out, man. You really got to be dedicated to that as like an aesthetic part of your personality, that you want to be Mr. Indie Guy to actually bother, because day-to-day life, who's got time for that, man? So The Pixies, yeah, they went under my radar. Passed me like a ship in the night. I finally heard their Wave of Mutilation, like the greatest hits, I guess, for lack of a better term. And my favorite song was Into the White, which is says something about my status as a Pixies fan, I think, that it's very much not representative of the Pixies at all. Frank Black doesn't sing, and it's just this kind of drony, repeaty song that's awesome. It's really, I don't know, it's cool. I listen to this song all day. So here is Into the White by the Pixies. It's a B-side originally, not even on an album. Shameful. Now here's a fucking classic. I have long been an admirer of this song. See, Busta Rhymes Again, this is sticking with loopy repetition, which is kind of the leitmotif of rap music. That is sort of what they do. So, but when you get the right loop, it can be great, man. It doesn't even matter that you're listening to the same 6 seconds over and over. It's just, it just gets in your head and you're good. I remember when I first started listening to rap music, though, it was like I kind of forced myself. It was with the Beastie Boys' Ill Communication, which is not a very rap-heavy album by any fucking rap stretch of the imagination. But it's like it was like listening to country music was for me. It just like almost like made my stomach feel queasy. It's just like this style of music that ain't mine. But I persevered. And the Beastie Boys were the first guys that I liked. And there were occasional like rap songs here and there. I was like Down with the King by Run DMC. It's a good fucking song. But Busta Rhymes I got into fairly early on with the Woo-Ha, man. Fucking I love Woo-Ha. The Escalator on the Way to Heaven. They're going to play Woo-Ha. You fucking be sure of it. I found the original song, actually, that loop was taken from. It's called Space by Galt someone. Anyway, it's not that notable. But Busta, his first four albums, generally, I really liked. Right up to The Anarchy, which didn't sell very good. But then he just died for the next couple. They fucking sucked balls. No one cared. And I guess his new one, The Big Bang, is pretty famous. I don't know. I think I'm kind of done with Busta. But I do like his fucking style. I like that Busta presentation. Like that that big song, you know? Fucking Turn It Up. It's fucking embarrassing. It just shows how shitty most rap guys are. There's like that super mega remix where there's like 30 people and they all do their quiet verse and then Busta says, "Turn it up!" and they do their yelling one. And oh, it's just embarrassing for some of those guys. They just suck. And if you ask me, if you can't fucking bust out with a fucking immeasurable blast, you know, a fucking powerful presentation, then you got no fucking place to be a rapper. Busta's part, though, was great. Busta, I don't know, I like him. He's good. But this song is from a second album. It's called We Could Take It Outside. It's actually with the Flip Mode Squidad. And I don't know, fuck the Flip Mode Squad, they suck. Who cares about them? They had an album too, The Imperial. It had like one song that I liked. Mostly what gets me with this song, it's the loop itself. I wish I could find an instrumental version of this song. I mean, it's a fine song as it is, but oh man, I don't even know what the original is. It's just some piano thing. You know, like how Gimme Some Mo was the theme from Psycho. Fucking, I don't know, I gotta find out what song this song is based on. Because I love this little piano bit. It's so good, so good. So this is the Flip Mode Squad. We Could Take It Outside.
And I shit on my fly, killing all attempts from studio spies. Head to bed, Betty, bye, Betty, bye. Don't ask why, put to your ass at every time. Flip mode to squad, don't test, don't try. Peace to my people in the friendly sky. Peace to my outer space time.
I live the world like the ladies, bigger than crack in the 80s. Tune to push the bucky, I'm a Mercedes. Blow up like C4, there's so much to live for. Can't play the game no more, can't look the cane no more. Brothers ain't the same no more. Try to sweat me when I'm aiming for. Get yourself caught up, faggot ass tore up. In the worst way, the only way you can stop me. So cock your Glock and shot me, drop me, pop me. Make sure that you got me, cause anyhow I live, I'm coming back for you, pop me.
Yo, what y'all niggas wanna do? Y'all niggas want something?
Yo, we can take it outside.
Yo, what y'all niggas wanna do?
Something, yeah. We can take it outside.
Push up in the hot rod, alley cat
catch a rah-rah. On my flip mode in the back seats with the chrome nines. I'm here to bust my nigga fragile, let his brain fry. Pretty boy sliced up, feeling contact from this red eye. You fail to realize when the max be, you drop the plastic. Run up in your crib and snatch the hemis from the mattress. My crew expanded, QB is where we landed. Yellow strip, you crossed it. Now I'm forcing you to drink the Shan's potion. Show me we're loaded, the Desert Eagle here at clocking. Loving my doggy while we shine and continue flossing. Foot stepping on toes, I crush the whole shoe. Pronto like crew, till I'm triumphing like woo. The shit you talking crazy, like niggas turning in their handguns. I be burning them seeds like Betty Grandson. And smoking green poupon, boy. The two rhymes, I chew rhymes and make niggas fall like they were futons. All day outside, the squad be flip mode. We get our dick roll the whole shit.
What y'all niggas wanna do?
Y'all niggas want something good. G-U-Rilla to lead new militias that pillage Americana. Spit sentences like venomous iguanas. Reminisce the promise and bring drama like Nicaragua. Fatigue smudge, army leaders that count crooked drug dollars and sip fresh squeezed milk from the titties of llamas. Leave cities in carnage. Gritty as farmers that pour whiskey at harvest and hold 16 bananas. Maintain. I reign like Mussolini's iron fist. Try on this. You can't see me like vagina lips, smuggling diamond chips. Bubble anonymous, the dominant will free swords and calmly split fools in world wars.
Now, you better practice what you preach. I got 7 MCs at 10 G's a show each. Never interfere in shit. Souvenirs for your ears and shit. Clear poetry like William Shakespeare and shit. Heard this small check coming out. Hey, what you talking about? Lost and you walking about. Niggas got beef, they really wanna share and start talking it out. Hey, oh my god, y'all niggas be bugging me out. Wish they could lay me down and had the police start choking me out. Now I zoom in on you, my niggas start stalking you out. Shut down all the bullshit you told to be calling about. This one's for my peoples and my niggas up north. The ruler shit, dynasty for flip mode. Finally come forth, exports and imports. Hitting you with flavors of all sorts. My squad coming through, shut down the airport.
What y'all niggas wanna do?
Y'all niggas want something?
Yeah, we can take it outside.
Yeah, what y'all niggas wanna do?
Yeah, we can take it outside.
Y'all niggas want something?
Yeah, we can take it outside.
Gonna stick in rap land for a bit, although this is not a rap song. How I heard about this song was on Soulseek or something, just looking up songs that had been sampled to make rap songs, and it turns out this is the song that Dr. Dre used to make the beat for that first Eminem single, My Name Is, which not a great song by any fucking stretch of the imagination. It's like halfway a miracle that that wasn't a one-hit wonder. But this original song that it's based on, it's really good. It starts off with like this little 2-minute tune that's completely different, and then you'll, once it gets past that, you will immediately recognize where the Slim Shady fucking, you know, hi, my name is, where that shit came from. And it's really ridiculous. Like, this is beyond sampling. To me, I mean, I always think of sampling more as like how Liam Hallett from The Prodigy does it. Like, that guitar at the beginning of Voodoo People is from the Nirvana song Very Ape. But you wouldn't know that, right? You know, he just takes it and he messes it around. He makes it into his own thing. But this fucking beat for this Eminem song is completely stolen from this song. It's by somebody called Labby Siffrey, and it's called I Got the Blues. And it's everything is right there, man. The little stuttery bass and the fucking, the lead weight drum and da-dum, da-dum. It's all right there, like fucking ridiculous. They just took this and looped it up and had some jackass fucking rap annoying song over it. But I don't know, Eminem at first I seriously disliked Eminem, and then I went through a little bit where I could kind of see where he's coming from, but overall I don't know, I guess he is one of the better mainstream rappers, but that's not fucking saying much, right? So this is Labby Siffrey with I Got the Blues, some disco fucking funky classic awesome shit.
I got the blues, but I don't mind. All I
Well, that was pretty unexpected. I just got an email from Hemda on my little... I got this super shitty Pantalk phone, but it's useful for two things. It's got a flashlight in it, which comes in handy a lot, and apparently a lot of fancy pants phones don't have it. It's just because mine's old and shitty. It's very useful. It's like a Swiss Army knife phone. But I can actually check email. It's like the one thing it can do. And yeah, just got an email from Hemdeck because they just got back from Atlanta, and Matt Bray's busy, and they just need a little bit of work done on their live show they did there. So I'm going to be like editor boy, so I hope I don't fuck this up. Hopefully I do cool with it. But yeah, that's cool. Cool Mo D. Simpson. All right, so still the current theme we're in is vaguely rap-related. Much more rap for this next one than the last one. First, talking about samples that, you know, people made into songs. Listen to this this sample from a Quincy Jones song. I don't remember what it's called. Summertime in the City, some fucking, I don't know. But listen to this. And when you hear that, like, first thought is like, oh man, that's awesome. That would make such a good little loop. Like, somebody should fucking make a rap song out of that. And somebody did. The Far Side did this song called Pass Me By. I don't really know The Far Side very well. I know this song, and I know Drop, that had the Spike Jonze video that was all backwards. And I like both these songs. So, I don't know, I should fucking look into The Far Side. Maybe I'll really like them. 2 out of 2 so far. So, this is Passing Me By The Far Side, with some extremely weird sounding rapping at the beginning. But keep in mind, it's because he's, like, rapping like he was a kid, you know? It's about his teacher. And anyway, he jumps into different shit. But, with the classic Quincy Jones sample, The Far Side.
I think of me and Shelly. See, she's my type of hype, and I can't stand when brothers tell me that I should quit chasing and look for something better. But the smile that she shows makes me a go-getter. I haven't gone as far as asking if I could get with her. I just play love by ear and hope she gets the picture. I'm shooting for her heart, got my finger on the trigger. She can be my broad and I can be her nigga, but all I can do is stay up. Back as kids we used to kiss when we played truth or dare. Now she's more sophisticated, highly educated, not at all overrated. I think I need a prayer to get in a book, and it looks rather dry. I guess a twinkle in her eye is just a twinkle in her eye. Although she's crazy stepping, I'll try and stop the stride, cause I won't have no more of this passing me by.
And I must voice my opinion and be pretending she didn't have me. Sprung like a chicken, chased my tail like a doggy. She was kind of like a star, thinking I was like a fan. Dude, she looked good. Downside, she had a man. He was a Rudy, too. A nick and poop. She told me soon your little birdie's gonna fly the coop. She was a flake like corn, and I was born not to understand. By letting her pass, I have proved to be a better man.
She keeps up passing me by.
The dopest Ethiopian, and now the world around me begins moving in slow motion whenever she happens to walk by. Why
I wish I wasn't such a wimp. Cause then I would let you know that I love you so. And if I was your man, then I would beat you. The only lying I would do is in the bed with you. Valentine's is still the one who loves you dearly. Cause he has loved me tender. But the letter came back 3 days later. Returned to sender.
Now this next song, this will be familiar to any Conway West fans out there. This is a, I wouldn't know, I don't know if I would necessarily consider myself a Kanye West fan, but I gotta admit the guy's got some style. Of the two albums, I think you could chop them in half and make one really good album, those first two. But he's got this one song from his second album that has this sample of Gil Scott-Heron's song called Home Is Where the Hatred Is. And basically just completely rips the song, like the fucking chorus and everything, slows it down a little, and has some shithead rapper rapping over it. I think the guy's name is Common, and he fucking sucks. He's just like one of those rappers that just so, just no presence. Like, what are you even, I hate rappers like that. Like, the kind of guy fucking Saul Williams could behead this guy with his jizz from like 80 feet away. Just like, bam, you know, like good versus shit. So I went and tracked down the original song because my favorite part of this song was when, of the Kanye West song, is when the old classic tune kicks in and, you know, isn't being mangled by some dick-faced rapper. So here it is, Gil Scott-Heron, Home Is Where the Hatred Is. Not a very happy song, but man, that's the greatness of music. You can be singing about the worst stuff ever, and it's still fucking catchy.
Never went home again. Stand as far away from me as you can and ask me why. Hang on to your rosy beads, close your eyes to watch me die. You keep saying, kick it, quit it. Kick it, quit it, God, but did you ever try to turn your sick soul inside out so that the world, so that the world can watch you die? That last song,
Home's Where the Hatred Is, clearly about a man having some troubles in his life, substance abuse being one of them. So that's going to segue us into our next theme, which is drugs. And where we're going to go with the drugs is the train spotting. I fucking love train spotting. I mean, it's like, man, I got this like kind of internal mechanism where I kind of, as much as I said I don't care about, you know, listening to mainstream music and stuff, you know, again, at the same time, if something is really popular, I tend to distrust it, you know, if it's too popular. And Trainspotting was massively popular. And part of that, reading through the history of it, I mean, it's a really well-made movie. But also, apparently, the advertising budget was, like, almost on par with the production budget. They've spent, like, $6 million on the movie and $6 million advertising or something like that. And this showed me that ain't a bad thing. As long as you got a quality product, man, fuck it. Why not? Advertise the shit out of that bitch. You have to. You have to get it out there. It has to be put in front of people or they're not going to see it. But I heard from everybody how Trainspotting was great. And, you know, from just such wildly diverse sources that it just seemed too good to be true. It's like, that's a red flag right there. And the two things everybody mentioned was Renton swimming through the toilet and Baby Dawn climbing across the ceiling and her head spinning around. And I was like, wait, is this just some dopey drug movie, you know? Is it like fucking Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas or something? Like some shit that's not going to make sense to me unless I'm on acid. But then I saw it, and it's a fucking solid movie. I mean, as far as contemporary character-driven films go on a relatively low budget, I don't think you can get better than Trainspotting. It's just fucking a marvel of editing. And it's like, I watched it again just the other day. Music throughout, like it's almost like a series of music videos with little stretches of conventional film to tie them together, but it works so good. And it's a case of, I really think the movie is better than the book. Everybody always says the book is better than the movie, but not always. In the case of Trainspotting, it's too diverse. The book is not focused. It's just a mess of stories. It's got its moments, but I don't think it would have stuck with me. But the movie really focuses in on Renton and the internal monologue. I remember they mentioned in adaptation that the film teacher says you're not supposed to use voiceover. But, I mean, think of, like, apparently they did a draft of Fight Club without the voiceover. That's mental. And Trainspotting, again, like, that is an extremely valuable technique if you use it right. Like, I was thinking, if that story had been told from the perspective of any of the other characters, I think Renton would be a fairly pitiable person, you know? It's just because you get in his head, and that's how you understand that even if you're just kind of a waster, a layabout, a heroin addict, you know, doesn't mean you're not still a human. You still have a lot of thoughts, and, you know, there's still a lot going on in there. It's just, to the outside world, it's not apparent. And, Trainspotting is so good. But I'm going to play a song from the Trainspotting soundtrack. This is Mile End by Pulp. It's the song they play when Sick Boy and Begbie are crashing in Renton's place in London. And I really like that, too, where at the end of the movie, I mean, when you look at the literal facts of the things Renton does, he really is not kidding when he says he's not a good person. He's not. But and in the book, they have the additional thing of mentioning that after he steals the money and takes off, he's going to move to Amsterdam, and, like, that really seems like, what are the chances that that's going to go well, you know? If he's really serious about getting his life together, why in fuck would he move to Amsterdam? But you got to remember that at the time that this song happens in the movie, when he's in London and his friends come and crash with him, that everybody at that point is, like, trying to make a go of themselves in an adult way. And for Begbie, it's a fucking armed robbery. And for Sick Boy, it's his fucking deals, his brothels, his teenage fucking prostitute rings, charging the punters a fiver a skull type of shit. But Renton actually pulls it off. He fucking moves to London. He gets a job as a fucking, you know, what is it, a rental guy. I don't even know what you call that. You know, he's a rental agent. And he's making a go of it. He's having a normal life, you know. And if anybody's going to make it, it's going to be him. If you haven't seen Trainspotting, I can't recommend it enough. Such a good movie. Wow. If I ever make a movie, it's going to be largely influenced, I think, by the style of Trainspotting. So this is Mile End by Pulp.
Someone had died. The living room was full of flies. The kitchen sink was blocked. The bathroom sink not there at all. Ooh, it's a mess, alright. Yes, it's my end. And now we're living in the sky. I never thought I'd live so high. Just like heaven. Smells of fish, not just on Friday, every single other day. Below the kids come out tonight, they kick a ball and have a fight, and maybe shoot somebody if they lose a pool. Ooh, it's a mess, alright. Yes, it's
I like that line in that song, since it's just about a bunch of squatters, you know, taking over a place. About, you know, you got to go through these things before you can really understand how low a human being can go. That reminds me of this punk girl named Katie I knew here in Vancouver, who was very dedicated to punk stuff. She moved to Montreal. I might have mentioned her before. I think I did. Moved to Montreal for the summer to be a street kid on purpose. She used to work here at the projection booth, and she's kind of just drifted away, like deliberately chosen the living on the street, gutter punk lifestyle. I remember she was telling me once about, she was on a train coming, I think, from Montreal. And with two of her punk friends, and they were kind of drunk and half passed out. One of them was sitting on a seat. The other guy, for whatever weird reason, decides to whip out his dick and start pissing on his friend. And the guy getting pissed on didn't even... He just kind of turned his head a little bit. He just allowed it to happen. He just didn't care. And even she was a little shocked at the depravity that a human will allow themselves to sink to, even under relatively benign conditions such as the early 21st century. I don't know. I just thought that was great. This next song, this is a New Order song called Temptation. And I think I only like it because it's in Trainspotting. It just reminds me of the movie. So it's not even a very evident thing. It's Diane in the shower after she sleeps with Renton. She's singing it, and then when Renton's talking to the parents, it's playing in the background. And then recaps it a little during his detox in his bedroom in his house. But just, you know, reminds me. Anything that reminds you of good stuff, stuff that you liked, movies that were fun, it's good stuff. So here's Temptation by New Order.
Got gray eyes, and I've never seen anyone quite like you before. No, I've never met. We'll be right back.
And now for our final little sway, we're going to stick with movie soundtracks, which is where we were at. A lot of times songs seem like just powerfully relevant in the movie itself. Like, well, Trainspotting, say. You know, the classic, iconic opening, Renton running down the street, they're playing Iggy Pop's Lust for Life. Then, later, after Baby Don dies her crib death, and they cut back to that same scene, but now it's being played under, with the Blur song Sing playing underneath, and it's just worlds apart. It's so, I love that fucking, oh man, that, those two things, the juxtaposition, fucking beautiful. But songs like that aren't as good outside of the movie, you know? It's still an okay song, got nothing against it, but it just doesn't have that power. Or Garden State is a perfect example. It got a lot of credit for its soundtrack, but then you get the soundtrack by itself, and it just doesn't work for me as well. And if those songs aren't inside the movie, excuse me, they don't migrate out into the real world as well. But sometimes songs seriously do, and sometimes they're better on their own. This is a Jane's Addiction song called Ted Just Admit It, and I heard it in Natural Born Killers. It's part of this kind of pastiche that they just call Sex and Violence on the soundtrack. And I don't think I ever heard the original until just lately. And again, it's kind of like one of those cool things that passed me by. This band, by the way, same as Porno for Pyros, Perry Farrell. It's his other band. I remember way back that my aunt's boyfriend's brother, Ben, had this album way, way back, whenever this was, very early 90s, I guess. I remember the cover. It's called Nothing Shocking. I remember it being around. He had the single soundtrack, too. I remember I listened to that a lot. It was much better than that fucking queer movie. But I never really put this in, never paid a lot of attention. And now all these years later, I've gone back to delve in. And it's not a bad album overall, but especially this one song. I love this song. It's one of those, like, it's like a 7-minute song, but you wouldn't even think about skipping it if it comes up on your playlist and random. You just, God, so good. Apparently it's about Ted Bundy. A lot of quotes of things he actually said. But just the tone of this song, the whole thing is like fucking, yeah, so good. Just, yeah, if I could just sink my teeth into this song like it's a delicious steak, it would be a delicious steak. All right, I'm done. That's Jane's Addiction. Ted, Just Admit It.